The following presentation was recorded live at the River Worship Center in Warsaw, Indiana. We now join the message already in progress.
If the rapture doesn't happen. Now, the Apostle Paul said that for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If you hear and you come here and you say, oh no, pastors, you know, gone. You know, I don't want to say, you know, I don't want to say, don't anybody say you lost a pastor, right? Somebody said we lost our aunt this week. Well, if she's lost, we can find her, right? You know, see, pastor's moved. Pastor's gone. Because your Bible says that it's once appointed for a man to die, and then after this, the judgment, Hebrews 9 and 27. It's once appointed. We've got an appointment. Remember the little cards we had when we were doing the outreach work? You've got an appointment. You've got a divine destination. You've got a divine appointment. Will you be ready or not? And I think one of the things that 2020 has done for us, it's made us contemplate our own mortality, did it not? We've contemplated it. It put it in full frontal view of us, and we had to consider, I may not get out of this alive. Lord willing, and thank the Lord, we did. We're here. And so going forward in 2021, what changes do we need to make that we don't have to readjust and go into panic mode this year? The one thing that the Lord has been laying on my heart is that we need to love the Lord. There's been a transition, if you will, if you'll permit it. There's been a transition over the past 30, 40 years from love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, to God is love. And we've depended upon God's love to carry us through. But Jesus and even the prophets, if you look up, and I did a search, and I didn't bring the whole thing. I narrowed down my search. But this is 4.5 pages of everywhere where it tells you to love the Lord. There's another 4.5 pages that says God is love. And so if I could have that first slide. Today the world is wondering, God is love, right? God is love, right? And so we don't want to leave that incomplete. Yes, God is love. We're going to answer that question here in just a moment. I was talking with Pastor Glenn this week. And of course, I try to talk with Pastor Glenn every week. I'm telling you, that guy will give you confidence. He's like a shot in the arm. He'll pump you up. He is here to lift. You know, he is here to pump you up. You know, and he does. And he reminded me, and I told him, I said, you know, the world and the church at large. Okay, can I say that? Can I be so bold as to say that the church at large has become way too dependent on God loving them, and we're not so much interested in us loving God? How's that for a opening Sunday morning meeting? Have you ever had anybody that you really loved and they didn't love you back? As I was praying and in the Word this past December, as I was praying, you know, the Lord was telling me, I love these people, but they don't love me. What do we do? What do we do to show our love to people that we love? I'm not just talking about people. Let's bring it down out of the ethereal and bring it. What do we do for people that we love? Man, we go out of our way. You ever been in position by somebody you loved because they wanted you to go somewhere, wanted you to do something, wanted blueberries from Essenhaus or Michigan? I hate blueberries, but I love the person that loves them. I probably bought a semi-truckload of blueberries for one lady in our whole married life. I've never ate a one. Do you remember the, don't get me started there. Somebody said Hobby Lobby. Do you remember, anybody ever see the movie Phenomenon with John Travolta? Oh, it's a great show. And there's a great point in there that they make in the show. He falls in love with this lady. Now, he thinks that he saw an alien or an asteroid or something like that, and come to find out he's got a brain tumor, and it's causing certain occipital lobes in his brain to be, you know, turned on and off. And he learns Portuguese in an hour. That's hard, you know. But one point in it that it relates to today. There's this lady that moves into town, and she's got a couple of kids, I think, and he falls in love with her. And so he talks her into starting up this shop, and she goes out into the woods and she cuts down little saplings and she makes this furniture, this lawn furniture, this god awful looking furniture. And he's buying every piece of it. Everybody else in town is looking at him like, what's this? Man, this is ugly. Beauty's in the eye of the beholder, right? I dare not say some of the stuff that Vanessa finds attractive and that she likes. We've got 1,000 snowmen. Huh? She'll see the tape. I'll get it. So I buy snowmen. I buy blueberries. Right, I buy sour cream at the grocery. You know, sour cream. Seriously. All right. So here in this movie, the character that's being played by John Travolta, he's buying all of these chairs. And her business is booming because they're not cheap. And she's like making more, and she is not aware that he is the one buying her chairs. And she just keeps making them, and they just keep disappearing. And she just keeps making them, and they just keep. And it isn't until he passes that they go to his house, and in his garage are all these chairs that she has made. This week, I said farewell to my dad on Thursday. He's one of the ones that didn't make it into 2021. But I also told the group there, the people that were congregated there, my dad left me a roadmap and the plan to go and be where he's at. He loved us. He loved his family. He loved his children. Whenever I would talk to him on the phone, he would always say, "Hey, Jay, when you get a chance, come see me. And bring the kids. Bring the kids." So when we said farewell, we didn't say goodbye because I know where he's going. He left a wonderful testimony. When we didn't say goodbye, we just said, "Farewell, we'll see you later, Dad." And as I was standing there by the casket, I said, and I'll bring the kids. We, in 2021, if we learned anything from 2020, it should be that we need to love the Lord. Because there may be a time when his love for us may be drawn into question. I'm seeing it a lot. If you get on the internet, you're like, "How can a God of love allow this?" Or, "How can a God of love allow that? How could God permit this? How could God permit that? How could God?" And the problem that we get into is that we've got our focus in the wrong place. God allowed it, not this year. God allowed it back in Genesis chapter 3. When he gave Adam and Eve a choice. That's when it happened. Because up until then, we were living in paradise. Up until then, all the guys looked like models. All the girls were beautiful. Then entered sin. Then entered the sin. The serpent who was more cunning, who was more crafty, who was more deceitful than all the other creatures in the garden. And I love how as we come out of 2020 and into 2021, I love the fact that God has brought us into a place where we can focus clearly, right? Now, the pandemic is still there, isn't it? It's still going on. I'm saying it's not, nobody will deny that. Nobody will deny that people have become ill. My cousin just yesterday, I believe it was, got out of the hospital. 10-day stay in the hospital. Younger than I am. Was a professional baseball pitcher. Healthy. Lost 57 pounds. That's a weight loss plan for you. he's still on a CPAP when he gets home because he had the COVID. What are we going to do in 2021 that will bring us peace, that will bring us comfort, that will bring us hope? We just talked about love, joy, peace, and hope coming out in December. We just talked about those things. But what are we going to do? Is hope and is peace and is joy and is love sustainable for this year? I think one of the things that we thought last year going into it is like everybody was making a play on words. They were being very punny. Oh, 2020, you know, 20 vision. Oh, we're going to have good vision. We're going, you know what? We got a vision that maybe we didn't want. We got an experience, some of us, that we didn't want. We saw some things in 20. But what are we going to look for in 2021? Well, let me just throw one more pun in there and then we'll get into our scripture. Praise the Lord that 2020 is now hindsight, right? It's behind us. And as we move forward, we need to make some things happen in our lives. And part of that is I know God loves me. Does God love, is God, God is love, right? Yes. I know God loves me. Do I love him? Is his love for me unrequited? And you would be surprised to find out, in just talking with people, how many people really don't love God. They love the idea of God. They love the idea of church. They love the idea of getting together. You know, when you tell somebody they can't do something, that's when they want to do it, right? Try it with your kids and with your grandbabies, you know. If I want Miss Willow to do something, I just tell her you can't. Human nature is to rebel. That's one of the things that we see in Genesis chapter 3. It was rebel. Eve, get this picture. Let me set this up and then we'll get into the text. Get this picture. You're walking with God every day. He's talking with you every day. And all of a sudden, there's a tree in the middle of the garden that he says, now listen, you can have everything else, but you can't have that one. Everything else you can, and all of a sudden she's walking through the garden and she's looking at that one, the one that you can't have. You ever do that? You ever get feeling, oh, daggone it, why can't I have that? You know, there may have been better trees, we don't know. There may have been prettier trees, we don't know. There may have been, but all of a sudden she's walking by the one, and there is this serpent. Now we know that the serpent didn't look like the snakes that we see today. We don't really know what it was. We know that, one, it had legs, because the part of the curse was that it lost its legs. It has to crawl on its belly eating dust for the rest of his days. Right? Think about that. The serpent was cursed to crawl on its belly eating dust. What did God form Adam out of? And then when Jesus looked at Peter and he said, your adversary is looking to devour you. The devil's still eating dust, isn't he? Can you make the jump with me? Can you see that? He was cursed to eat the dust of the earth. We were made from the dust of the earth. The devil is still trying to devour us. Aren't you glad that God is love? Amen. So what happened was, and it's still happening today, and I've got one example and then we'll move on. But what happened was is that when the serpent said, has God really said that you shall not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil? And Eve, you know, how many times do we get in trouble when we become braggadocious or when we add stuff to something that wasn't there? God just said don't eat of it. He didn't say don't touch it. Go back into Genesis chapter 2 and see when he was telling Adam about it. He says, of the tree of the in the middle, don't eat it. Don't eat of its fruit. And then when the serpent came and questioned Eve, how many times does our braggadocious, our bravado get us into trouble? Oh no, we're not supposed to eat of it, and we're not even supposed to touch it. She added to God's word. When we add to God's word, we get in trouble, don't we? And when we tell something that somebody knows is blatantly not the truth, now we're out on a limb. And now we have no support for our thesis, our theories, or our thoughts. And the devil knew. Got her. He said, God don't, he just don't want you to have it, because he knows in the day that you eat of it, you won't surely die. Now, he's using a play on words. In the original languages, he's using a play on words. The Lord told Adam, he said, for in the day that you eat of it, you will surely die. He didn't say you will instantly die. When the devil was talking to Eve, he twisted it. See, the devil's real good at twisting scripture. The devil's real good at getting your thoughts jumbled. You ever think you hear something that you didn't? You ever have somebody say something, you look at them like, what? What did you mean by that? Have you ever asked for an explanation? And instead of her saying no, the Lord said, we shall not eat of it or we will surely die. The devil said, you're not going to instantly die. And so she took a piece of it. I imagine Eve looked at it. She probably looked at it. See, I went shopping with ladies. You ever go garage selling with a lady? Man, they're going to, brother, just hang on, man. You go garage selling. They pick it up. They look at it. They'll set it down. They'll walk away. They'll come back to it. They'll pick it up. And then what they're doing is they're trying to figure out where they're going to put that and what of yours is going to disappear when it goes on the shelf. Now, you guys could have supported me a little bit better right there. But it's true. They may go back to it 3 or 4 times. And guys, let me in 2021, let me give you some stalwart advice. When they're doing this, when they're in this process, do not say, I'm just going to go wait in the car. Whatever you do, do not say, I'm going to go wait in the car. Because the next thing you know, hey, can you help me? I found some stuff after you left. Oh, gracious. And if you want proof of that, you'll just have to come over to the house. I'll open up the front door of what used to be my garage. And it's now a museum of antiquities or something like that. I don't know. Anyway, okay. All right. But there are still people today in the church that are following the error of Eve. I watched, there's a thing unfolding in front of us now. And I watched as people are being attacked for coming to church or not coming to church or going out to eat with friends. They're being attacked because they're not wearing masks, or that they are wearing masks. There's just nobody, they've all drawn sides and they've quartered up. And so I was watching and people really today, this is from a Facebook post addressing a man who died of the COVID pandemic. That was a play on words, but I think that it is a pandemic. It was a man-made thing. She said, sometimes it's your turn. Now watch this. She said, it's appointed once for a man to die, and then after that, eternal life. This is what this person said in an open forum. But here's what the scripture says, and let's contrast this. In Hebrews 9:27, and as it is appointed for a man to die once, but after this, the judgment. We've exchanged God is love for I love the Lord. See, I love the Lord. If I love the Lord, then I'm going to know what the Lord said. If I love the Lord, I'm going to know what's in His Word. Because the Word is not necessarily commandments and instructions, and it's a letter to us to show us how to navigate through the rocky shoals of years like 2020. Okay? Is it possible that the person, that lady had been misled? It's probable. They might be one of those who the Lord spoke about in Hosea 4 and 6. And it simply says, my people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Because you have rejected knowledge, the Lord says, I will also reject you from being a priest for me. Because you have forgotten the law of your God, so I will also forget your children. Wow. Wow. I don't want to forget God's law. As a matter of fact, the writer of Deuteronomy said, the writers say, you know, keep it in front of you always. You know, the psalmist said, thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against you. The psalmist also said that thy word is a light unto my into my path and a lamp unto my feet. So I won't stumble. Aren't you glad that the Lord has the answers before we have the questions? All right. Well, let's go to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm going to begin reading out of the New King James, and I don't have a very lengthy lesson, but it's very meaty. I hope that you'll be able to, if you go back and watch it today on the live broadcast or get a copy of the Podbean or on the podcast or whatever. But it is a very meaty lesson to start 2021 with. Because in 2021, we need to love the Lord. We'll establish here in just a little bit that God is love, because that was the title, God is love, right? And people need to know that God is love. But we also need to know that we need to love God. Amen. Amen? All right. Verse number 1, John chapter 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are test the spirits whether they are of God. Because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit, now notice in your Bible, it should be capitalized, talking about a person. Notice the first spirits were various spirits and different kinds of spirits, you know, but this one is capitalized. He's talking about the person of the Holy Spirit. Okay? It says, by this we know the Spirit of God. And then watch, he switches right back. Every spirit, notice the capitalization, so you're talking those, not, it's not the Holy Spirit here. Every spirit that confesses that Jesus Christ has come from the flesh is of God, has come in the flesh is of God. All right? And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. Now, for the church for a long time this has been established, or so I thought. There is still a section of, I don't know that you could say Christendom, but there's still a section of people in the church that say, Jesus really never came. He never came in the flesh. And they throw out the book of Isaiah. And he was never, certainly not born of a virgin if he did. And he didn't go around and he was just a good teacher. He was just a good man that went around doing good works. And that's all he was. But how could a good man arbitrarily go around doing good works and doing good things fulfill the nearly 700 prophecies spoken of him in the Word to the letter? He was not an anomaly. You know, I deal with, in my vocation, I deal with probabilities, I deal with statistics, I deal with random variation. Nothing is that spot on by chance. There are places on the East Coast and now all throughout the country, but there used to be places in Atlantic City and places in Las Vegas, Nevada that bet against chance like that. If you walk into a place like that and they marked you as having a 714-1 odds of losing, they will say, "Hey, listen, enjoy the buffet. Here's you some tokens. Here, but stay in the arcade. Don't go to the big money tables. Don't go to the odds are against you ever doing that." Jesus fulfilled them all. Okay. And this is the spirit of Antichrist. Now notice this again, Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. Now this is John talking. So he's been here. The spirit of Antichrist has been here the whole time. You know, you're going to hear a lot of people talking about, oh, the Antichrist is coming, the Antichrist is coming. And we believe that, but the spirit of Antichrist has been here for a long time. And you know where you find a lot of the spirit of the Antichrist? You find him in the churches where God is love and I don't need to do anything to just but your Bible says it's better to obey than to sacrifice. Amen. Well, that went out with the Old Testament. I don't have to do that. Well, we're going to find out here in a little bit, all right? Okay. The spirit of Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Somebody ought to highlight that and say amen. In 2020, we found out that greater is he who is in us than he's in the world. Amen. Because some of us would have surely given up. Some of us nearly did. Just throwing that out there to be honest. Some of us nearly did. Oh, Lord, what's this coming to? Oh, Lord, what are we going to? Oh, Lord, what are we? You know, and aren't you glad that greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world? Amen. All right, we talked about that, the theory of pressurization and jets and submarines. And they are of the world, therefore they speak as of the world, and the world hears them. Imagine that. I heard all kinds of arguments about whether churches should meet, whether churches shouldn't, whether they should go, whether they shouldn't, thank God for Pastor John MacArthur, who took a stern line and says, if God's God, let's worship him. We ought to worship God. Remember what Joshua said? If it seems unseemingly to you to worship God, then you choose you this day who you'll serve. But as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. Amen? In 2020, we had to decide whether we were going to serve the Lord, and we did. Let God be God. Let God arise, and let his enemies be scattered. That's in the Word. We can take courage when we read the Word of God that the same God yesterday, the same God that defeated his enemies back then, is still on the throne. He's still powerful. He's still mighty to save. Even me. Shouldn't I love him? I'm not saying God's building chairs out of saplings, but shouldn't I love him? Doesn't he deserve our love? Think about it. I asked that question a little bit ago. If you've ever been loved someone and they didn't love you back, have you ever had an unrequited love where it's not reciprocal? What happens? How does that make you feel? Now God is faithful, and God is just, and he will always love us. We know that 1 John 1:9 says that we can call on him at any time, and he'll hear us, and he'll forgive us. Lord, I messed up. Lord, maybe I didn't believe in you. Maybe I didn't love you like with my whole heart. And he will forgive us, and he will still come running. The message of the prodigal is seriously the message of God the Father running to our aid when we return to him. All right. We, in verse number 6, it says, we are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. That verse encapsulates 2020. Do you know the difference in 2020 and all the previous years, wherever we were in a war, whether it was when the towers fell, whatever, no matter what tragedy befell America, the difference in all those before, all those times before, is that when something traumatic happened, the church people ran back to the church. Even in 9/11, have we forgotten? Where were you when you remember? Do you remember where you were? Yeah, my dad would tell the story of when JFK was assassinated. The country came in mourning. They came back to the house of the Lord. Something had happened that it had rocked the foundations. And yet in 2020, the churches by and large remained empty. People who once said they loved the Lord are now far from Him. Does God still love us? Yes. But do we love Him? Verse number 7 says, "Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone who loves is born of God and knows God," right? Is born of God. Everyone who loves. And I'm not just talking, I'm not talking that phileo love, that Philadelphia love, that loves you for what you can give them. Everybody's had it. People love you as long as you're buying. Right? People love you as long as, you know, hey, listen, I'm gonna give you this, I'm gonna give you that. People with money don't, you know, I have some friends that are very, very, very wealthy. Matter of fact, I have a couple of friends that they could write a check and pay off the land, pay off the mortgage, but they don't know that one of the problems that rich people have, and I'm talking about wealthy people, one of the problems that wealthy people have is they don't know who loves them and who loves their money. They're very cautious of who they assimilate with because you never know when a gold digger is going to come in the midst. If we love God only for what He can do for us, guess what? We be gold diggers. One of my friends said that he told me He started a campground here in town. It's one of the bigger ones, and he's had all kinds of ventures. He grew up training under Dave Thomas, the owner, the founder of Wendy's. Matter of fact, one year he was heading down to Florida. He says, "Hey, listen, we're going to be out on Dave Thomas's cigarette boat. You guys interested?" "Well, heck yeah, I'm interested. You know, getting out a cigarette boat in the Gulf of Mexico, and you know, thing could go 100 and 200 miles. I don't know how fast they go." "Yeah, I'm interested. I'll see what I can do." I said, "Nah, listen, I'm okay. Let's just shoot some pictures and let us." "Well, don't you want to go?" "Well, of course I want to go, but I have no claims to Dave Thomas other than you know the Wendy's triple baconator or whatever they call it. That's my only relationship. How many triple baconators did I have to buy for him to have a cigarette boat?" Well, they were close friends. He knew Harlan Sanders. You know, the original colonel. Have you ever heard the term 6 degrees of separation from anybody in the world? 6 degrees. So my friend knew these guys, and I knew him. So he is 1 degree. So I was 2 degrees separation from some pretty rich guys. That makes, now I'm telling you about it. Now you're the third degree of separation. Anybody in the world is only 6 degrees separated apart. How's that for cool? But we can still be miles apart in ideals and theology and our personal beliefs with the Lord, can't we? All right. Anyone and everyone who loves is born of God and knows God. Now, verse number 8 is very familiar. He says, "And he who does not love does not know God, for God is love." There's your answer. God is love. A lot of times His love goes unreturned, though, doesn't it? A lot of times his love goes unrequited. A lot of times I have failed to say, Lord, I love you. You know, you woke me up this morning, the beautiful snow. Wasn't it beautiful? I mean, I love the snow. I am so built for snow. You don't want to see this in a Speedo. I am so built for snow. I told my wife, I said, I could be a missionary or a pastor to Alaska. And she goes, well, you have to go by yourself. Well, what would I tell them? My wife wouldn't come. I love y'all, but my wife wouldn't come. You know? It was beautiful. God is still on the throne. And he still paints a beautiful picture. If we look outside, his trees in the fall, wasn't the fall beautiful? Weren't the colors vivid and bright? Wasn't it awesome? God is so awesome. And yet we have forgot a simple truth. We know that God is love. We've just proved that through his word. But do we love God? Or do we take him for granted? Isn't it easy to take God for granted? Isn't it easy to get into a rut? Isn't it easy? Let me challenge you. In 2021, every day, wake up and tell the Lord, I love you. I love you, Lord, and I'm going to lift my voice for you today. In 2021, you're going to know that I love you, and those around me are going to know that I love you. It's established that you love me. I'm going to establish that I, as a man of God, love you. And I, as one of your children, love you. There will be no doubt at coming out of 2021 that I love you, Jesus. Wouldn't it be different? How different would it be for our family and our friends to understand that fact that I love God? Would that change anybody's attitude about us? Well, I don't know what he's thinking, but he loves the Lord. I tell the story a lot. When I was 18 years old, I was working at Peabody's in North Manchester, right out of high school, working at Peabody's. I was a welder on the second shift. And man, I'm telling you what, just coming out, you know, when you just get out of high school, I don't know about y'all, but man, I was full of vim and vinegar. I was, you know, don't get in my way. I wish somebody had a guy. No, anyway, not for that reason. Just hey, look, man, you ever have anybody tap you and say, hey, listen, you know, you might want to consider what you're doing. I probably wouldn't have listened, but at least I would have been able to walk around the gate, right? So there was this guy, his name was Willis, and he was working beside me, and people all around us in Peabody's, it was a rough shop. I mean, we were welding, you know, guys were like, man, if you've ever been in a welding shop, just a pure welding shop, some of those guys, you know, the weld breaks or a tack breaks or the steel draws, and the next thing you know, some of those guys, you know, they don't praise Jesus. You got to watch out because you may have a 4-pound sledge flying over your head. Whew. I had a guy, I never could figure it out until like the last week I worked there. He was like two booths over. I was setting the base plates on the instruments that we were making, and I was welding them up, and I was welding an upright and putting a stop on for him, and somebody had put the stops on wrong, and so his parts wouldn't fit. And I keep hearing him, I just thought he was mad all the time. Man, he took his sledge and he's like, bang, bang, bang. And the next thing you know, I'd hear the wall being hit by a sledge. I'm like, what in the world? I actually opened up that curtain. Who's over there? The sledge was coming from 8 feet on the other side of me, over my booth, over my head, and into the wall. There was a pile of sledges over there. Straight across from me, the guy working on the other side of what I was doing, was an old country boy by the name of Willis. And Willis loved Jesus, and he let everybody know. When this guy over here would be calling God the dammer and saying all kinds of stuff, like Willis would be over there, praise you, Lord. I love you, Lord. Thank you, Lord, for this good job. Thank you, you're taking care of my family. And I'm sitting there thinking, and I want to tell you, I wasn't on fire for the Lord back then. And I'm thinking, man, this guy's crazy and that guy's nuts. I'm just trying to figure out how to get my parts out of my booth to these guys. One day we were sitting at the break table. Welders end up looking like coal miners a lot of times. We were sitting at the break table, and Willis had a little Bible, and the lights were dim. You don't need a lot of light when you're welding. Your welder turns it on. And he was sitting there, and he was hunkered over. And at our break table, he began to say, "Lord, I don't deserve you. Lord, I love you. I don't deserve you. You've been so good to me. I don't deserve you." Now, you have to understand, you guys have seen the wall back there. You see my grandpa, you see my pastors, and hopefully we're going to put a picture of mom and dad back there because they're part of the heritage too. I come from I'm a preacher's kid. I'm a PK and a GPK, you know, a preacher's grandkid, PK, PGK, whatever it is. I had all kinds of, and here I am. Willis ain't talking to me, he's talking to God, but he's having an effect on this guy's heart because my was trained up. The Bible says, train up a child in the way he should go, and when he's old, he won't depart from it. Here is this 18-year-old guy working in a shop, and we got all kinds of guys ready to go out and party, and all kinds of guys. And all of a sudden, there's a Willis that loves the Lord and is thankful for his job and is grateful for being able to provide for his family, and he's loving the Lord in everything that he's doing. And there I am. Oh, Jesus. Why do you do that? Because he loved me. Man, that's been 40 years. It's taken me 40 years to get to the point where, Jesus, I love you. 40 years, Pastor, till the realization set in that not only did God love me, but he expects me to love him back. If I'm going to have, if my communication and my relationship with the Lord, or my relationship with my wife, or my relationship with any of you, if we're going to be in a relationship, then we have to reciprocate when favor and love and kindness is shown us. In 2021, we need to make it our goal, make it our aim, that we are going to love the Lord, and we are going to do everything within our power to show that we love him. If you want an example of it, wait till that door opens back there and our kids come running out and our grandkids come running out. Wait till the door opens. Hey, you want to see how we should react to the Father in heaven? What happens when we come home and our grandbabies are there or our kids are there? What happens when you get on the phone? Hey, Papa, I want to show you this. And you almost get vertigo by looking at the, you know, sky, floor, ceiling, sky. You know, there's my dolly. Look at my dolly. Lord, I want to show you what's going on here. We may not have good days. We may not have good days all the time. Lord, I want to show you what's going on. I want to invite you in. I want you to be the Lord of my good days and the Lord of my bad days. Do you know one of the things that my dad did for me? And I knew this, but when you take time to remember and reflect, things come in to clear focus. It didn't matter what kind of day my dad was having, and he had been sick for a while. It didn't matter what kind of day my dad was having when I would call him. He pushed the pause button on his day, and he began to let me tell him about mine. And he wanted to hear. He was interested in hearing. And I got to thinking, man, what a godly example. What a godly example. You see, when we go to the Lord, we don't know what kind of day he's having. We, you know, here he is. I mean, how many of us last night, other than the ice and snow, we didn't worry that the axis of the earth was going to tilt 4 degrees toward the sun and we were all going to wake up in the Sahara Desert? We didn't worry that it was going to tilt 4 degrees away from the sun and we were all going, well, it kind of the polar thing. But we didn't worry about that. We just said, God, you know, you got this. We know you love us. When we woke up this morning and we saw the beautiful snow and we realized that we're not in the desert and we realized that we're not in the Arctic, we should have said, Lord, I love you. Thank you. You got this. When the moon didn't fall out of orbit last night and crash into the Pacific Ocean and now we're living in beachfront property, Lord, thank you. You know, this, by the way, this, that's the way I think. I got these scenarios that run through my head. You know, that engineering thing messes with you. You know, because I run through synopses, and I run through plans, and I got plan A and contingencies and all these things. You know, it's like, ah. You know, sometimes, Lord, I just want to be like Willis 40 years ago. Lord, I love you. I want to be like Harry. Gee, I love my Jesus. You see, the God has been working on us to draw us to him so that we may love him. It's easy to say that God is love. How about I love the Lord? As a matter of fact, there was a meme that hit the internet a couple of years ago, hit Facebook. You know, I don't brag about my love for God. You know why? Because we don't love God. Not like we should. But I'm going to try. I'm going to make it my goal. I don't believe in resolutions or whatever they call them, or New Year's resolutions, whatever. But I'm going to make it my aim to be pleasing to him and to love him. And you know what happens when I do that? When I love the Lord first and foremost, then I'm going to love my wife better. I'm going to love my kids better. I'm going to love you all better. You see, when we make up our mind to love the Lord, everything around us is lifted up. Everything around us becomes better. Everything around us gets sustained. If we make up our minds to love the Lord first and put him first, then everything around us benefits. I love salmon fishing. I got a big boat that hasn't been wet on the bottom in a couple of years in the backyard. I never go salmon fishing. Because Vanessa, I never go salmon fishing, but what I don't stop at Rinder's, it's a roadside fruit stand, and get a 15-pound box of blueberries to bring home. No, I don't make blueberry salmon. Blueberry and salmon, in my book, don't mix. But there was a lady at home who loves me enough to let me go. There was a woman at home that was praying, Lord, when they're 20 miles out in Lake Michigan, make sure you bring them back home to me. You know, I'm kind of sadistic when we get out there. If there's any waves when we're out there, I just plug in the old the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald, you know, and people, you know, people start getting humble. You know what? Now think about this. If I don't love the Lord first, then every other relationship that I have will be suspect. If I don't love Jesus first, because from him in him we live and move and have our being. And we didn't have to worry this morning whether the sun was going to come up in the east. We didn't have to worry about all those things we just mentioned. And so if we don't love him first for all that he has provided and all that he does for us, and not to mention that he gave his only begotten son that whosoever believes in him wouldn't perish but have everlasting life. If I don't love him first, then all the other relationships in my life are going to be suspect. Wow, who would have thought that all of this was right there? A couple of years ago, you guys remember when the National Treasure movies came out? And people started getting interested in archival stuff, and they started let me give you a book from antiquity that has all the answers. A book from antiquity. That has all that you say. How can you? The Solomon told us that there's nothing new under the sun. Everything that we're facing, everything that we're going to go through, it's not new to God. I think I want to get to the one that knows the answers. All right. Skip on down to verse number 20. I got to hurry because I'm getting long-winded. But verse number 20, it says, if someone says, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he who does not love his brother, whom he has seen, how can he love God, whom he has not seen. If someone says that I love God, I just hate Corey. I'm a liar. Because I can't love Corey. I can't love God if I don't love Corey. You know why? Because he's created in the image of God. You will never look at someone today, masked or unmasked, that God doesn't love. You will not encounter anyone today, and it doesn't matter. You guys know my affinity for Walmart. I can go to Walmart at any given time, and this same lady with that same little kid is going to run that cart into the back of my leg 22 different times. I'm sorry if you haven't had that experience yet. Come with me, and I'll show you. It's like Luke. Everywhere he goes, he's going to get stopped by a train. I'm trying to teach him how blessed he is from one who loves trains. But for someone who doesn't love trains, they're a nuisance. If I don't love that lady and that little kid, I've been using that story for so long, the little kid's probably the manager of Walmart by now. But if I don't love that lady and that incident as much as you know, if I hate them, I can't say I love God. You know why? Because they were created in the image of God. When I was in Bible college, one of my good friends had a poster. And on the poster, there was a guy and he was in Skid Row before Skid Row became a band. He was in Skid Row. Broken glass all around him. He had vomited. He was in a terrible, terrible shape. And he had the verse, "Inasmuch as you have done it to the least of these, you've done it unto me." You see, Jesus died for him too. Jesus gave his life for him too. I'm not going to see anybody today. Now there are bad people doing bad things, but it's all because they don't have a relationship with the God that I love. They don't have a relationship. So if you hear anyone say, "Man, I hate that person," hey, let's go to church. Run, because you're not going to get the truth there. You say, "Well, one lie doesn't make you a liar, right?" How many banks you got to rob to become a bank robber? How many cars you got to steal to be a car thief? How many people you got to kill in cold blood to be a murderer? Does one lie? You see, something that they taught us in psychology. You already think about every word that you say seven times here before it comes here. That's why your Bible says to bring every thought into captivity. You know? One of my friends is infamous for saying, "You know that filter that some people have? I don't have that." He does. He just chooses not to use it. He just chooses not to use it. But your Bible says, if there be anything good, if there be anything lovely, if there be anything holy, think on these things. You know, what you put in, you're going to get out. If you're around somebody that's negative and nasty all the time, either two things are going to happen. They're going to influence you or you're going to influence them. We're all being influenced. I want my influence to be that I love the Lord. I want my testimony to be that I love the Lord. Amen? All right. And this commandment we have from him, that he who loves God must love his brother also. All right? Matthew chapter 22. Verses 35 to 40. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him. and saying, "Teacher, which is the great commandment in the law?" Verse number 37, Jesus said unto him, "You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind." This is the first commandment. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like it, that you shall love your neighbor as yourself. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, all your soul. We got to love the Lord. We got to love the Lord with all your mind. A quick search in the Bible will return that there are many, many passages that tell us to love the Lord as there are that say God is love. So to embrace and hang our eternal hope on God is love alone is kind of like a man that ignores a flat tire on the front of his motorcycle. I just opt to ride wheelies everywhere I go. I have you know that if you're riding wheelies on a motorcycle in this community, they're gonna pull you over. Somebody's gonna stop you. But to say that God is love and that alone, and you're hearing that all the time, God is love. Surely to goodness, you know, he's not gonna send people to hell. God is love. God loves me. He won't send me to hell. Brother Summerall used to say this, and this is one of the things that Glenn and I were talking about. Brother Summerall used to say this all the time. He said, God will love people all the way to hell. For only those that love him will repent and turn. Those who have seen that God is love and he loves us for a reason and he loved us to save us, only those who love him will repent and turn. That's a hard saying, but it's true nonetheless. And even Jesus warns us not to put anything ahead of our love and devotion. In Luke 18 and 18, and I'm going to go ahead and read. It'll be on the screen for you. In Luke 18 and 18, "Now a certain ruler asked him, saying, 'Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And so Jesus said to him, 'Why do you call me good? No one is good but one, and that is God.'" Now he could have had a dialogue right there. He could have, but you're God. Remember what Peter said? You know, Peter said, you know, that Jesus was asking the disciples, "Who do men say that I am?" And the disciples were saying, "Some are saying you're Elijah. Some are saying you're Elias. Some are saying you're a prophet." And Jesus stopped and he said, "Okay, wait a minute. But who do you say that I am?" And in 2021, if we're going to love God, we've got to have an understanding in us. Who do we say that he is? And Jesus said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." Wow. From this fisherman that shot his mouth off all the time, he engaged his mouth before he engaged his brain most of the time. All of a sudden, God had moved into his heart and revealed who Jesus was. And Jesus reciprocated. He said, "Blessed are you, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood didn't reveal this to you. You didn't get this from your head. God put it in your heart." And that's what we need today. We need for God to put that wisdom into us as to who he is. He's the Christ, the Son of the living God. And he's worthy of our love. He's worthy of our affection. He's worthy. Amen. And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? There is no one is good but one, and that is God." You know that Jesus continues, he says, "You know the commandments. Do not commit adultery, do not murder, do not steal, do not bear false witness, honor your father and your mother." And he said, "All these things I've done from my youth." You know what the amazing thing is? A lot of people have a checklist of things that they do out of routine. Doing all these things from his youth wasn't a bad thing, but was he doing them for the right reason? Was he doing them for the right reason? Or was he doing them so that he might, in the end, get eternal life? Fire insurance. What was his motivation? I don't want to go to hell. I don't want to serve Jesus, but I don't want to go to hell. You know, there are a lot of people that are motivated to be in church. There are a lot of people motivated to tithe. There are a lot of people motivated to do great deeds, all because they don't want to go to hell. But we're saved by faith through grace and not of works, lest anyone should boast. Now, I believe that once someone falls in love with Jesus, they have a good relationship with Jesus, they've truly repented and they're following him, that works will follow. But I don't think that your works, you don't push your works ahead. Jesus, look what I did. Oh, Jesus, look what I did here. Look what I did here. And you know, some doctors may say, and I'll use a doctor, oh, look, I invented penicillin. Look at this. And look at all the things. And Jesus said, I raised a dead boy from the grave. I stopped a funeral one day and gave a son back to his mom. You might have heard of this guy by the name of Lazarus who was dead for 4 days and in the tomb. What will we say if we're wanting to present our accolades to Jesus? What will we say to him on that day? Well, I invented this. And look, you can start your car remotely. The Lord's going to say, you know, I invented the sun. It'll warm you up. It causes photosynthesis, which causes plants to grow. If every good and perfect gift comes down from the Father of lights, which is in heaven, it's a good thing to love him, isn't it? Creativity. I'm not saying creativity is bad, but if you guess what? The more that we love him and the more that we tell him, I love you, Lord, and I lift my voice, and I'm going to let everybody around me know, kind of like Willis did in an old sweatshop with an 18-year-old young backslidden man working there with him. You know, it Willis said, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Lord. I love you. And Harry said, I love my Jesus. What happens to those around us? It'll make an impact on their lives. Because they realize that there has to be something about it that would cause a man to go into an environment like that and still love the Lord, come out loving the Lord. A man who was isolated away in a hospice wing, and he still said, I love my Jesus, and caused an impact on a couple of pastors and an entire family. There's something about it, isn't there? You ever had somebody that, and I'm gonna close here. But you ever had somebody say that they love the Lord, but you really couldn't tell? They say that they love Jesus, but you really couldn't tell. As a matter of fact, if they didn't tell you that they love Jesus, you probably would have never picked up on it. What if Jesus did that to us? What if he loved us, but he never told us or never showed us that he loved us? How would that make us feel? Well, that would make us feel like we need to find out if Jesus loves us or not. Lord, do you love me? Lord, do you love me? I used this several times last year, and I hope I don't offend you by using it again, but one day someone asked Jesus, how much do you love me? And he said, this much. And they nailed his hands to a tree. Jesus, do you really love me? The question isn't about how much Jesus loves you. The question is, do we love him? Let's finish here. He said, all these I've kept from my youth. So when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, well, you still lack one thing. Sell all that you have and distribute to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come follow me. But when he heard this, he became very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he became very sorrowful, he said, how hard is it for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. Now, he's not saying that it's a sin to be rich. We know that Abraham was probably one of the most wealthiest men. As a matter of fact, Abraham, an individual, a sojourner in a foreign land, actually attacked and took out three kings and all their armies. The guy had some stuff. All right? He was wealthy, well-to-do. We know David and Solomon. He's not talking about riches. He's talking about those who put their faith in their money. He's not talking about rich. He's talking about those whose God, whose idol is money. During his day, Nelson D. Rockefeller was the richest man on the face of the earth. It is reported that his children and his heirs to the eighth great grandchild would never have to work a day in their lives off of his inheritance. Pretty well to do, right? Eight generations. That means we're only now in the fourth generation from him. Somebody said, "Well, man, how much more money do you need? How much more money will you be satisfied with?" Money is such a terrible taskmaster. Because the more you have of it, the more you want. And if you don't have any, you want more too. He said, "How much is enough? You would never have to work another day in your rest of your life, and your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, great-great-grandchildren, great-great-great-grandchildren will never have to work a day in their life." And he said, $1 more. One more dollar. Do you have enough? Let me just tell you this. Jesus is enough to satisfy you. Right? And Jesus looked at this man and he said, "How hard is it for those who put their love and put their trust and who worship their wealth to enter into heaven?" It's difficult. And then he goes on to talk about a camel passing through the eye of a needle. I know people today that have material things and keeping them from being what God has called them to be. They're possessed by their possessions. And you know the strange thing about most of the people that I know who have great wealth? When they first got it, they called them blessings. I'm going to finish this up on Wednesday night, but most of the people that I know that have chains of gold around their wrists and around their ankles, when they were first blessed, when God first lifted them up out of the miry clay and set their feet on a rock, they called them blessings. Oh man, oh, we didn't know what we were going to do, didn't know where we were going to eat. And all of a sudden, the Lord came through, and we had a breakthrough. And just 10, 15 years removed, no longer in driving around in cars that, would, if we had to pass inspection, would be off the road. Seriously, one fella, and I'm closing with this, one fella, I got him a piece of titanium from the place that I worked at the time. And we bolted it into the floor panel of his car because he literally had a Fred Flintstone car. You could look down. If you took your foot off the brake, suddenly you're looking at the ground. You could be stopping the car. You know, nothing there. I got him a piece of eighth-inch titanium, and we've formed and molded and riveted and bolted and then all of a sudden God blessed him. It came as a blessing, but he forgot. While God loved him, he forgot to love the Lord. And today, I just seen him this week. The most important thing in his life is how much money is in his wallet, in his bank. The guy didn't have nothing. Didn't have nothing. It came in the form of a blessing, but it turned into an idol. And the blesser is sitting there thinking, "Man, where have you gone? Was it better for you to be praying that I bless you and you still love me? Or is it worse that now that I have blessed you, you've forgotten me and you're all about your money? You see, I think sometimes God doesn't give us what we ask for right away because he knows it'll turn us from him. One of the prayers that Vanessa and I have in our life, we'll be married 40 years this May. One of the things that we have done is simply this. Lord, if it will turn me away from you, don't let me have it. Lord, if this is going to draw me away from you, if this is going to hurt my relationship with you, don't keep me from it. Because sometimes, Lord, I'm stupid. I really loved that juicy fruit Corvette. I really prayed hard. 78 fastback. Oh, man. Stingray. Oh, man. The guy wouldn't even let me test drive it. And isn't it amazing we love the Lord when we're in need? We love the Lord when we're in need, don't we? But praise God, we prayed, Lord, if this is going to hurt my relationship with you, I don't want it. Lord, if that is going to keep me, and there have been jobs, there have been positions, there have been, we looked at a place, we took the kids up north, they were going to bring us up to a big place up in near Kalamazoo and going to be an engineering supervisor, going to be all this, and money, oh my goodness. They were going to pay to move us there and take care of our house down here for us, sell this house down here, build us a place up there. And you know what? I just told you I like salmon fishing. You're a lot closer to Lake Michigan up there than we are here. Lord, if that's going to draw me away from you, don't let it happen. You see, sometimes the devil will give you what you want to keep you from what you need. Sometimes your blessing can become an idol if you're not careful. In 2021, let me admonish you. Let me lift you up. The same God is still on the throne that parted the Red Sea. The same God that brought Lazarus back from the dead is still on the throne. He changes not. You say, well, why aren't we seeing the things that they saw? I love you, Lord. And I lift my voice to worship you, oh my soul. Rejoice. Take joy, my King. Lord, let me be pleasing to you today. Let me be pleasing to you. When we open those doors up back there, watch as the children run out to see mommy, daddy, nana, papa, and say, Lord, let me be like that in your sight. If I can only grab you around the knees, Lord, let me grab you around the knees and hang on for dear life. This year in 2020, when I need to cry, Lord, would you just hold me? He will. No matter what we face in 2020, as long as we're facing it with him, it's going to be all right. Or 2021, as long as we're facing it with him, it's going to be all right. We're going to get through this. Because greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. 2021. The word for 2021. Let my love for you become evident to all who would be around me. To all who would see me. When they part from me, not how handsome I am, not how good looking y'all's pastor is, but that he loves the Lord. One thing they said about Pastor Burkhart? He loved the Lord. One thing they said about Dr. Summerall? He loved the Lord. One thing they said about my grandfather and my dad? You guys heard it this week that were there. They loved the Lord. Harry loved his Jesus. In 2021, let's love the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We praise you. Lord God, we give you all the honor and all the glory this year, Lord, for what you've brought us through and what you're bringing us to. Lord God, I just ask right now.
Thank you for listening to today's message. If you have any questions or would like to reach out to us here at the River, you can email us at study@riverwc.org. Again, that's email to study@riverwc.org. God bless you.